Amen. Great worship, great singing this morning. Before the I dismiss the children for Children's Church, let me just say one thing. It is good, always good to hear you singing and hear the praises and worshiping God. It helps us, others, to sing and praise, and especially those. I had a good family choir behind me this morning, and I just praised them. They was good, singing good, and so we might have to get them up here for a praise team sometime. Three generations worth, so it was really good, but I appreciate that. Children, it is time for Children's Church. If you want to go back, Brother Johnny's back there at the doors, and he'll escort you upstairs. And parents, you'll be able to pick them up upstairs, and we can guide you. If you're a guest, we can guide you where they're going to be right after the service today. But thank you all. One of the songs we sang talked about release, being released from my chains, and so that's why I took the jacket off. I'm released from all boundaries now. I can move freely and preach as long as I want. Amen? All right, good. Just checking. See how you say this. I know one of our members has already showed me that he turned his hearing aid off before I got up. So that's, I don't know if it's afraid I'd put him to sleep or what, but or keep him awake. I might keep him awake, so he's going to turn it off. Just teasing. This morning we're starting a new series. It's called Live Like You Mean It. And so for the next 3 weeks, I think, we're going to be talking on this topic, Live Like You Mean It. And you'll see the same logo up there with a different title every week. And this week's title is, What Am I Here For? We're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about why were you put on this earth at this time in history? What am I here for? You know, writing this, this statement came to mind. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. You remember that? From the Mission Impossible TV show years ago, and then the movies more frequently with Tom Cruise. Now, I have to admit, I've never watched any of the movies, but I did used to watch the TV show. And, of course, that's one of the first lines in the movie or the show is, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Well, God has a plan, and His plan includes you. You have a unique role in God's plan. Every one of us as God's children. And so let's read this verse of Scripture today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Would you stand with me as we read it? You didn't stand enough during the singing, so I'll have you stand so you get that blood flowing again before you do fall asleep. But Ephesians chapter 2 says this, verse 10, for we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Father God, we thank You so much for this Scripture, for this Scripture gives us a promise. We are Your creation. You took the time to create each one of us individually, uniquely, and You created us in Christ Jesus for good works. We are to do good works. Good works won't save us, won't get us into heaven, but You created us in Christ Jesus for good works, and You actually prepared those good works ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Help us, O Lord, to walk in accordance with Your purpose and Your creation for us, the good works You have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, church. Thank you. Number one, our point this morning, our number one point, going to get jumped right into it. God has a plan for you. This Scripture and others that we read tell us that God has prepared His plan for your life ahead of time, before you were born. God already had your life planned out for you. And the question is, will you choose to accept His plan for your life? Will you choose to accept His plan for your life, for what God wants you to do, and do it His way, as we've talked about in the past? Now, from time to time, I hear people say, well, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just ordinary. Nothing special about me. You know, I've said that too. But then I also think about Scripture, and I realize in Scripture, God's Word says no. God's Scripture says otherwise about each one of us. It says that you are special. You are special because God created you special. God created you unique. You know, there's over 7 billion people on the world today. Think of that, 7 billion people. and there's not another you anywhere. They tell us that there's been about 7 billion people that have lived before us, and there was never another person like you. If there's another 7 billion people that live after us before Christ comes, there will never be another you. God created you that uniquely. You are a one-of-a-kind, special, and unique creation of God. Our verse tells us this morning that we are His creation. God's special work of art, you might say. Did you ever think about that? You are a work of art. Now, your parents may have said that to you younger, or maybe your spouse has said that to you recently. You're a work of art. But God's word says that you're a special work of art. You're God's work of art. And that is what the Greek terminology that Paul uses here means. Paul is literally saying you are a special, one-of-a-kind creation. So do you ever feel inadequate? Of course you do. Many people do on a daily basis or regular basis. But why do we do that? You know the reason why you feel inadequate? The reason we feel inadequate from time to time is because we're trying to compare ourselves to other people. We're not comparing ourselves to God's creation. We're comparing ourselves to other people. And anytime you try to compare yourself to someone else, you never measure up. Either that or you think you're too good for other people. But most of the time when we do that, when we do that, compare ourselves to other people, we think, well, I'm just not that good. I can't play the guitar like that. I can't sing like that. Or I can't do this. Or I can't sew or quilt like those ladies quilt. I can't lead children's church. I can't do that. I can't do that as good as somebody. That doesn't mean you're from Whoville, okay, for those of you. But I want us all to say this together. You ready? Oh, come on. See, if I quit, you quit. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Let's all say this together and say it with some oomph, okay? I am who, not what. Say it again. I am who, not what. You see, folks, our significance comes not from what we do or from how much we have. Our significance comes from who we are. We are men and women made in God's image. Our significance does not come about how much we've got or how big land or how much land we own or how fancy a car we have or a big bank account or we got so much money we have to keep it in two different banks. None of that counts. Our significance comes from who, not what. You are made in the image of God to have a relationship with Him and with others. You see, folks, it's not about what. Because you are not a what. God did not create a what when He created you. He created a who, and Jesus infuses our lives with purpose and significance. And He asks that we live out our destiny that God uniquely designed for each one of us. Now I want you this morning to grasp the power of purpose. I want you to grasp, to understand, to walk out here with a new meaning, a new understanding of the power of purpose. You see, folks, it does not matter what you have or don't have. Your age doesn't matter. If you understand the power of purpose, your age does not matter. It is never too late to grasp the power of purpose. Many of God's great servants were doing some of their best work in their 80s and 90s. Think of Abraham and Sarah. He was 100 years old, and she was 90 before they had their first child. And then God created an entire nation out of that. And certainly you remember the story of Joshua, 85, and he's leading the Israelites to conquer nations in the land of Canaan as if he were still 40 years old. You see, folks, it's never too late to grasp the power of purpose. Teenagers, young adults, maybe still in your 20s, it's not too early to grasp the power of God's purpose either. Some of David's finest work was done as a child, including killing a giant that scared and intimidated and taunted all of the fighting men of Israel. Yet this young lad, this teenager, went out without military weapons and slayed the giant. And not only was he a fighter, David was also a musician. And he was called to the king's palace to play the music to soothe the king and the people in the king's court. And I know we have some teenagers here that have put together a praise band, and they're working on that so that they can lead our youth in praise. And so I praise God for that. I am happy. I am blessed to know that that's happening, and for each one of you that are part of that as well. You see, folks, when you understand and you grasp the power of purpose, it will change everything about you. It truly will. And all for the better. I guarantee that if you can grasp the power of purpose, it will change how you deal with adversity. It will change how you deal with pain. And it'll change how you deal with success. How many of you have ever heard of the story of John Stephen Aquari? Anybody? John Stephen Aquari was a marathon runner, which is running 25 miles. And he was a marathon runner from Tanzania. And he ran in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. And he's running that 25 miles, and somewhere along the way, he took a fall. It was a bad fall, they say. And he was pretty beat up. Now, the medical team got to him real quick, and they bandaged up what they could while he was laying there on the ground. Then they helped him up, and they stood him up, one on each side of him, and they started to walk him back to the ambulance, to put him in the ambulance, take him to the hospital. Because he had, as we later found out, he had at least dislocated one of his knees. But he broke free from him, turned around, and went off running in the other direction. I said running. I doubt he was running anymore. But he took off following the marathon trail. And over an hour after the first person had crossed the finish line, he enters the stadium. Almost everybody's gone from the stadium. Not many people left. And it took him about three times as long to run the marathon as it normally should. But he comes into the stadium, and when he got there, upon crossing the finish line, he was asked why he did not stop after that injury. And this is his reply. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. And we're not to allow adversity to foster hopelessness. That is not what God intended for you. That is Satan. Satan trying to keep you from finding the power in purpose. When we start allowing it to cause us to be bitter or to think of hopelessness. Folks, let those things that cause adversity in your life build character. Let those things build character and strengthen your life. That's why God allows you to go through them. I said that a couple weeks ago about what I went through last year. Pain and adversity are never pleasant to go through. However, they can build character and great strength in God. Remember our number one point, God has a plan. And along with that plan comes our second point, and that is purpose brings passion. God has a plan, and following that plan is his purpose. Purpose brings passion. You see, understanding the what am I here for question will bring clarity and focus to anyone's life. Many people today, I see, just appear or seem to me to be bouncing around life like a pinball in some old pinball machine. Living without any clear direction, without any focus at all. Just bouncing around wherever life seems to take them. You will be surprised, folks, if you don't have it. You will be surprised, some of you know this, at how having clarity and purpose in your life will change your life. Anyone's life. It will change your life. See, folks, you not only gain focus, but having purpose in your life changes how you react to every situation, to everything going on around you. You not only gain focus, but having that purpose in your life, God's purpose in your life, changes how you react to and how you deal with adversity and hardship, and even the successes in your life. I want you to look at the person to your left. Go ahead, it's okay. They won't scare you. Well, they may scare you, depending on. Look at the person to your right. Look at the heads of those people in front of you. The backs of their heads. I don't want somebody just leaning over the pew, but I want to let you know this morning that every one of those people has pain in their life. Every one of those people have pain in their life. You see, life is full of pain, some hidden, some visible, some we'll never know about. But every life has pain It's a fact of every life. There is visible pain. There is invisible pain. There's pain, like I said, that we'll never see, we'll never know about. But there's people are going through things that are causing pain. Adversity and pain bring people down. They have a tendency to bring people down and to lead people into depression even. Pain can foster bitterness and hatred. However, pain can also build character and new determination, or what I call tenacity. I'm coming back with a strong determination, just as John Stephen Aquari did. You know, I think of people in our own church, like Jill Maynard, and how she faced that cancer last year. And every time she either texted me, every time I saw her, every time I talked to her, she had a positive attitude about it. She was plugging, praying, and moving forward, and we were praying with her. And she was just an encouragement as she walked through that. And I think of Judy Jones. 2 weeks after I was stricken with Bell's palsy, she had a stroke. She's fought through it. And she's grown through it, and she's fought through it, and she's done it, even to the point that she wouldn't slow down. She wouldn't allow that to slow down, the opening of the house over here, the Life House Pregnancy Center that we have. And wouldn't slow down, getting out and just getting ready for that and talking to everybody in the community. So much she wouldn't let slow her down that she was just commissioned this last Friday as a volunteer missionary for the Kentucky Baptist Convention. That just gave me holy goosebumps. And she, you know, God deserves a round of applause for that, for what he's done and how he's used her. And how Judy has responded through pain and adversity, not letting it bring her down, but pushing forward. You see, folks, Jesus promised a life of meaning, of significance, of forgiveness, of joy, in spite of all your circumstances. He promised that in spite of those hurts and those hardships that we go through. He did not promise a life that would be pain-free, that would be easy. And he gave his life as an example. Talk about pain and suffering. That's pain and suffering, more than you and I will ever know. He instructed you and I to take up our cross. Does that sound like it's going to be pain-free? He instructed us to take up our own cross, take up our cross, and follow him daily. Doesn't sound like an easy and painless life to be expected, does it? Of course not. But it is a must for all Christians, for all believers. Jesus promised us a significance far greater than circumstances. He promised us a significance in this power of purpose that we've just been talking about. He promised us a significance far greater than anything you have ever gone through or you will go through. You will go. All those things with honor and with courage, because it's all about him and not about woe is me. It's all about him and not me. Folks, it's time to stop playing around. To stop waiting for something better, or waiting for something to happen, or waiting. We've talked about this many times. Each one of us in here, you need to seek out your purpose. You need to seek out your purpose in life. What is God's purpose for you in your life today and in the years to come? And then you need to start fulfilling that purpose. The assignment that God has for you, which is your calling, the calling that God has on your life, may or may not be directly related to your vocation if you're still working in life or if you're still in school. But if that's where God has you right now, then that's where you are to fill your purpose. That's where you are to seek the power of his purpose. You are to use your gifts, your talents, the passions that we've talked about in the past and we'll continue to talk about, to use them right there. If it's at school, if you're still in school, then it's at school. If it's work, wherever God has you, that's where you have to use those. Because God is at work around you. And we've talked about this too many times. God's at work around you every day, every place you find yourself. And it's up to us to find out where God's at work and then join him in that work. That's what he wants. He's just waiting for us to join him in the great, glorious work that he's already doing. Folks, look for him. If you look for him, I promise you, you will find him at work, already there with an assignment for you. What am I here for? Could it be that the God of the universe is calling on you to give up your small dreams to join him and embrace the vast purpose that could have been designed only by the God of the universe. Could it be? Oh, but I got big dreams. I don't care how big your dream is. My God's bigger, and his purpose for your life is bigger. He has a purpose for you, and we need to seek out that purpose. Could it be that the God of the universe is calling on you? I've said this before, but if you had told me even 25 or 30 years ago, when I first went into full-time ministry, that this is what God was going to be doing with me, I'd tell you, there's no way, that's not me. I can't do that. God has a purpose bigger than whatever your dreams are. If you had told Pam and I that God was going to move us to California, we'd have said, no way. You've heard me say this before, we've never even dreamed of taking a vacation in California. But God had us out there for 7 years, and what a wonderful blessing that was and still is in our lives. You see, folks, real life is found in God's purpose. And real life is found as God's purpose intersects with our embracing that purpose. Everything else is merely existing. Do you only want to exist? Or do you want to live with purpose? Purpose of the creator of the universe. I tell you what, folks, I would be scared to death to only live to exist. I don't want to live to just exist. Just getting by. Just doing what I have to. I did that in high school. Just doing what I had to do. That was it. I don't want to live to just exist, to only exist. I believe that living with purpose is a direct road to dissatisfaction and early death. In our society today, we are constantly told that satisfaction comes from our toys and our bank accounts. How much stuff we can acquire. I know some of you have to pull your feet back under the seat for this one. Folks, those things may not be bad all in and of themselves, but they cannot lead us. None of those can lead us to the one thing our hearts desire. That's lasting satisfaction. We all have that because God created us with that desire in our heart for lasting satisfaction, and we try to find it in all kinds of things except the only place we can find it. Lasting satisfaction can only be found in one's life that counts for something greater than self, fulfilling God's purpose. Something lasting, something transcendent through all areas in all situations in life. What is that? That's fulfilling God's purpose. That's whatever God is telling you that you're still going to push through and you're going to plow through and you're going to continue to do what God's called you to do, and you're going to stay on course with God, seeking him each day. Lasting satisfaction can only be found in one's life that counts for something greater than yourself. I need to get that through to people. Life satisfaction has nothing to do with what you have or how much you have, but it has everything to do with who you are in Christ and how you live out that purpose in his power. That's the power of purpose. You see, folks, it is in the fulfilling of your unique calling, your purpose, that you deepen your relationship with God, that you see your lives transformed, and that you develop his heart for the world. You want to know why some of those people in the church, she does this, she does that, he does all this? They're doing it because they're fulfilling the purpose that God has given them in their life. Folks, anything that you enjoy doing, you have to invest time in, right? You invest time, you invest money and understanding and learning how to practice this more effectively. People who hunt or fish or play golf, they do the same thing. I know, because I've invested in all of those things. I've spent money, I've spent time trying to learn those things and building my relationship with these sports, with these activities, outdoor activities, trying to be better, trying to understand the sport, trying to become better at it. I spend money, I spend time, I spend sweat equity in my yard and the property that I own. Why? Because I enjoy a nice manicured and well-landscaped lawn and property. But not only for me, I do it so for every person that rides by my property. I want them to enjoy it as well. Husbands, wives, you understand this principle too, because you understand that it takes a giving of yourself to continue to deepen your relationship with your spouse, right? Men do this. She's watching you, okay? You do. We do that. We know that to grow a relationship, you must spend time and use whatever you can to grow that relationship. To be selfish and not give to that relationship will cause hardship. Between the people that we love and ourselves. Folks, the same is true with our relationship with God. The same is true, the one who created us to have and to enjoy a joyful life, he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. In doing that, we must do the same thing. It is in the fulfilling of our unique purpose that we deepen our relationship with God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. That was our first point. Our second point was purpose brings passion. He gives us that passion. We have a passion to want to develop that relationship with Him. And then our third point this morning is this: your most important assignment. Your most important assignment. You see, folks, with this relationship with God Himself, with Jesus Christ, with this relationship comes a mission. And the fulfilling of this, our purpose through that mission, is the most important assignment you will ever have, and one that leaves an eternal legacy. Did you catch that? That relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, developing that, also comes with a mission. That's fulfilling your purpose. That's your mission, is to fulfill your purpose. And it's the most important assignment you will ever have, and it is the one that will leave a lasting, eternal legacy. When you die and leave this place, people won't remember you very long. Not your family might, but other people won't remember you, what you've done or how much good you did. But this relationship with God will leave an eternal legacy. You see, the more you invest yourself in something and deepening that relationship, the more transformation you will seek. And the more you will see take place, transformation you will see take place in regards to that relationship. I'm going to relate it back to sports. In the late 1970s, I took up bowling. And I wasn't bad at it. I was okay. And I had people wanting me to bowl with them. And a lot of better bowlers wanted me to bowl with them because that way they'd get their handicap. Because they didn't have handicap, and I did. But I kept hearing the words as I was bowling, the first couple years I was bowling, that said, if you want to bowl better, bowl with better bowlers. I did, and I found out that was true. I began to watch and build relationships with some of the better bowlers in the bowling houses that I frequented. And I actually worked at one in the late 70s. But two men that I bowled with in particular, Greg Scott, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, and Jim Wolf. Greg was the number three bowler in Louisville during the time that I was bowling with him. So that just God put us together, and we became good friends. And he asked me to bowl on a couple different leagues with him, and that made me a better bowler. Later, he went on to be by the way, there was over 250,000 bowlers in Louisville at that time, and he was the number three bowler. Now I probably would have been down to like 249,995, but. He went on to be the Louisville's leading bowler, number one bowler. I looked back at stats a few years after I'd left Louisville and saw that he was the number one bowler for 3 years in a row. Jim Wolf, the other guy that I bowled with some and hung out with, turned professional and went on the tour back when the tour was really a good tour back then. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you is I watched. I learned all that I could. I practiced. I hung out with the best in the business. Why? Because I wanted to be better than average. I wanted to improve. I wanted to be better this week than last week. I want to be better this year than I was last year. I wanted to continue to improve. And you know what happened? I improved. I became a better bowler. Now, I'm not telling you this so you go out and start bowling, okay? But I was being transformed into a better bowler. I was developing a heart for striving to always become that better bowler with every ball that I threw. That was bowling. That was temporal. That was temporary. It was not lasting. And there came a time when I realized I would never reach the satisfaction that I longed for, no matter how long I bowled or how good I bowled, because bowling wasn't going to fulfill that emptiness. I could be a good bowler. I could be a better bowler every year. But you know what I found? I have found that it is in the fulfilling of our unique calling. It was about performance. But what brings true satisfaction is about Him and doing whatever we do for Him, not for performance. I want to learn. I want to improve. I want to do better this year than last year in God's eyes. I want to deepen my relationship with God on a regular basis. And every year, I see my life being transformed. Not by me, and not because of me. I see my heart being molded into God's heart for the world. When Jesus came into the world, He changed the rules about ordinary and significant. Jesus views significance from an eternal perspective. He's been trying to teach us to do the same ever since. Why? Because you and I are eternal beings. We live in a temporary body, just like bowling was temporary. We live in a temporary body. It's only going to last for a short time. But we are eternal beings. And Jesus infuses our life with purpose and significance. He gives us that significance. Nothing else you ever try is going to give you that significance that you long for. He asks that you live out the destiny that He exclusively designed for you and then died for you for. Now, I don't know what your calling is. I don't know what your purpose is. I can help you to try to find it, to unearth it. Ask yourself this question. What are you truly passionate about? What are you truly passionate about? That's a starting place. And then, a question I love asking, I've been asking people this in one of my books too, but I started asking this in 2001. I read a book and I got this question and I thought, man, I love this question. If there were no obstacles in front of you, what is the one thing you would be doing for God? In other words, if all age barriers, if all physical restrictions were removed, if all financial barriers were removed, if all geographical barriers were removed, if everything was removed, there's absolutely no obstacles in front of you, what is the one thing you'd be doing for God? And I would ask people that, sitting at a restaurant or in my office or just standing talking. And I would ask, and then I wasn't too long until I developed a second question. People would tell me, oh, I'd be on missions for God. I'd be doing this. I'd be doing that for God. I'd sing for God. I would do. And you know what my next question came to be? Why aren't you doing it? Think about it. Why aren't you doing it? What is that one thing I hope you thought about that as I ask you. What is that one thing that you would be doing for God if all obstacles were removed? And then when you answer that, say, why aren't you doing it? Because think about it. If our God is as great and as big as we say He is, can He not remove any obstacle in front of you? There's absolutely no reason why you can't be doing that thing right now if that's what you'd be doing for God. What is that one thing? Because that's where your purpose lies, folks. You find that one thing, that's where your purpose lies. Folks, I have never in my life had a passion to do something like I have for fulfilling my purpose and my calling from God. Never. You see, in the fulfilling of my calling, my purpose, I have a deep desire to deepen my relationship with God. I see my life transformed. I long to develop His heart for the world. And I yearn to be able to pass it along to as many people as possible in as many ways as possible. And I want you to experience this God-blessed life that I know of. And I only know a little bit of it. Like Jesus said, I want you all to experience even more of these things that come from God. Some of you experience some of this. You understand some of these things. But do you long for even greater and more of these experiences? Because I know God will grant each one of you, will grant you even greater experiences than I've been talking about. So the question again remains, what am I here for? What are you here for? Ask God. God's word says you were created in Christ Jesus. See, ask God. He's already said it right there. You were created in Christ Jesus. But for what? For good works. It's the very next three words. For good works. What good works? The ones that God had already prepared ahead of time. So that we should walk in those good works. His good works. Not just because it's good or seems good or we heard it's good. But to walk in the works that God, the God of creation, the God of the universe, walk in the works that He has planned ahead of time. He prepared ahead of time. What greater thing could you accomplish? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing better that you could accomplish. Nothing greater that you could accomplish. There is nothing greater. There is nothing to bring you more satisfaction, more joy, more peace than fulfilling your purpose, your God-given purpose. That's what you are here for. This week, I pray that you will begin to unearth your God-given passion. Because that is what you are here for. Let's pray. And stand with me as we pray. We're getting ready to enter into our time of invitation. It's God's, our time of response to God. Father God, we thank you so much for this time, for this moment in this service. Father, you've given us your scripture. You've helped us to understand it a little, hopefully a little bit better, see it a little more clearly. And so I pray that, Lord, right now, as you've been speaking to the hearts of everyone here, everyone listening and watching online or other means, Father, I pray that you would continue to pierce our hearts, to help us to understand, what am I here for? To fulfill your purpose. And that we would diligently seek to make sure that we're fulfilling the exact purpose you desire us to fulfill. That we're doing the things that bring satisfaction that this earth cannot even imagine, much less bring. Father, for someone here today that does not know, they've never made that decision to follow you wholly, to have that personal relationship with you, then I pray that today's the day of salvation. They wouldn't leave this place without getting that settled. They can come front, come forward, talk with me and Johnny right now. They can go to one of their friends or family or others that they know of here in the church that can help them, to lead them. But don't let it go unsettled today. Father, there's others here. There's some here that have been visiting for some time. They've never come forward to join the church. If you've been touching them to do that, Lord, I pray that that touch would be even stronger now. That they would come forward and say, this is where God has settled me or our family, whatever that is. That they would come to be a part, officially you might say, of the family of God right here at Central Baptist Church. For others, it may be, Lord, a reigniting in the heart that you've tried to reignite and you want to reignite that spark. And maybe today you've done that. And they want to come forward and just be an example to others and say, I'm going to be about fulfilling my purpose. I want to know. I want to experience the power of purpose. Father, you deal with people in many different ways as according to our needs. So I pray that you have, as your Holy Spirit has had the freedom today to touch our hearts and speak to us, that we would not leave here without responding to you in the way that you desire us and need us to respond. There may not be a tomorrow. There may not be a tonight for some of us. Father, let us settle with you what needs to be settled. And turn to you and grow closer to you and draw closer to you, because you've promised us if we draw closer to you, you will draw closer to us. Thank you for that, another one of your great promises. Father, right now, help us to respond as you lead us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.